Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame best party!
You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am your host, Mike, the Birdman Dodd, and this week I'm flying solo here on the show because Alex is unfortunately not able to join me this week as he is currently stuck in lands beyond, known as Scarborough, Ontario. Although if you get a chance to talk to Alex, ask him about buttered toast and Ziploc baggies. The answer may just surprise you. So anyway, what have I been up to? Well, since we last talked on the show, I actually just celebrated my 8th wedding anniversary with my wife, Blair, so go us. However, we did not spend that day in wedded bliss. No, we spent that day in a motherfucking hospital. That sucked! And I had a bit of a health scare involving my one good foot, and it doesn't seem to be too bad. I had some ultrasounds done in the ER, and they took a look at it and whatnot. The ER doc didn't seem too concerned about it. Allegedly, deep tissue damage, but they're just going to do a few more scans just to make sure to rule everything out. Still haven't heard back on that, but it's now Monday when you're hearing this, so I'm presuming I'm not going to die. Let's hope. And then last week we also celebrated Blair's birthday, which her parents came by and my sister-in-law, Kara. Good time was had by all. And then myself, outside of enjoying the family festivities and the lovely public health system up here in Guelph, pretty much been watching a lot of movies, actually. As you'll hear in this show, I've got reviews from Paramount Home Entertainment. I finally watched the Godfather trilogy. I also took a look at Star Trek Adventures from Modiphius, and Alex has a controller review coming to us from PDP Gaming. So, I guess, I'm trying to think, what else have I been really up to this week? Been playing a lot of Dragon Ball Z Fighters, which is the fighting game that came out a while back for the Xbox One, PS4, and the PC. Discovering a lot of my tactics are no longer working as the computer is not stupid anymore. So, well, hopefully I'll be at it. So that's been kind of fun, kind of getting back through my backlog of games. Might start The Witcher at some point this month. I got The Witcher 3 on sale a while back, so I'll probably power through that. I have the other ones on Xbox One, but I just don't know whether I can go back and play the other two games. So I hear you can just jump in the 3 and you'll still have a pretty good time. I jumped in the Skyrim and had a good time. So I hear it's better than Skyrim. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. So anyway, up on the show this week, I'm going to be talking about Fortnite, cat puke, city-killing asteroids, and so much more. So keep it locked here to This Week in Geek. I am your only host this week, Mike the Birdman Dodd. So keep it locked here to Twig, your flagship of stupidity in the storm of stupid. I will be back right after this message. We are looking at the Godfather trilogy, the Corleone Legacy version, coming to us from Paramount Home Entertainment. Well, if you know anything about crime movies, one of the biggest of all time is, well, the Godfather trilogy, Francis Ford Coppola's masterpiece with Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, and countless other stars basically made their mark on Hollywood here. I don't even really need to tell you what this movie is about because, well, it's The Godfather. You should probably know, but I'll sum it up in short. Basically, it's about the Corleone crime family. In the first movie, Marlon Brando plays Don Vito Corleone, who's the head of the crime family, and basically about his sons Michael, Sonny, and Fredo. And, well, it's a family drama. I mean, all things considered, yeah, there's a crime element to it, but it's... Someone in the special feature, I think it's Joe Mantegna, said The Godfather is like Italian Star Wars. And I don't think I could find a better analogy to that. But what this collection is, this is a four-disc collection that collects Godfather 1, 2, 3, and a whole disc of special features, including archival special features, all the way back to the 2001 release here. This is on Blu-ray, and I'd say the transfer actually looks pretty good, although there is some speckling with some of the darker colors. I don't have a 4K Ultra TV or anything like that. I've got a pretty standard 1080p, but some of the colors seem... not washed out, but just didn't seem quite right. But then again, this is a movie from the 70s and in the early 90s. What do I expect? But it does look pretty good. I did have some problems, though, especially when it came to subtitles. Sometimes when they speak Italian, it's not subtitled for some weird reason, and other times it is. So that's kind of weird. So there are some pieces of plot I've missed out on because they weren't subtitled, so guess I'll never know unless I learn the language. Beautiful language, though it is. But I was surprised just how good these movies were, simply because this is the first time I've actually sat down and watched these things. And going through the special features, there's a half-hour making of how this was sort of in a period in Hollywood when they were making movies, and they didn't quite know what was going to happen, as a lot of movie studios were getting bought up by big corporations. They were taking a lot of risks, and Hollywood wasn't looking the same. They actually talked to people like Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Francis Ford Coppola, and give you a bit of an insight. They also do examining the world of The Godfather, which is kind of like the pop culture aspect of it. So you get clips from The Simpsons, SCTV, The Sopranos, obviously. But overall, I was really impressed with this. One of the weirder things this collection comes with, you get some physical collectibles. You get a couple of character portraits. You get, obviously, you get Marlon Brando, Vito Corleone, because, you know, he's the Don. You also get a little pullout, which is not quite a poster, but like a flowchart that shows the Corleone crime family and the relationships of everybody. So if you're having trouble keeping track of everything, you get that as well. This retails for about 50-ish bucks on Amazon.ca, and I really do think it's worth it. It's a pretty good transfer of the movie. Like I said, subtitle issues aside, it's got some really good special features. There's a lot of them. And I like the fact that they do include the older special features from the earlier releases in case you wanted a little more Godfather in your life. So yeah, you should check out the Godfather Trilogy, the Corleone Legacy Edition from Paramount Home Entertainment.
Thank you. Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
All right, guys, we are back here on Twig, your flagship of stupidity, and we're going to start things off with the news that happened around the world this past week and will be etched into the history books forevermore. And they say history is written by the victors. And this victor is a 16-year-old kid who won $3 million playing Fortnite. And they say video games accomplish nothing. So this 16-year-old kid named Kyle Giersdorf won the inaugural Fortnite World Cup. This kid was watched by over 1 million viewers online, 16,000 people in person. He goes with the online name Bugha, and he's the highest winning esports gamer of any single player tournament. He was quoted to say at CNN, "Words can't really explain. I'm so happy everything I've done in the grind has paid off. And it's just insane." He also told the publication he's not sure whether he'll gamble it all or invest it. Fuck y'all. he also said, when discussing how he won this, he'd found a fairly safe spot to beat his competitors, and he said it was pretty much sealed from there. Runners-up in the tournament, a person known as Harrison Som Chan, 24, took home $1.8 million in second place, while the third-place Epic Whale, whose real name hasn't been revealed, won $1.2 million, and third-place Nate Creo Ku, 18, won $1.5 million. Holy shit. Now, one of the greater COD commentators, Jack Courage, used to be a guy you'd see at all the COD World League events and whatnot, was he put this out on Twitter. And he said, "Bugha returns to school after summer break. His teacher, 'What did you guys do this summer?' 'Student number one, mowed lawns. Student number two, hung out with friends. Bugha won $3 million playing Fortnite in front of a 16,000 person crowd with millions of people watching online.' Fortnite News then replied to his tweet, 'Who the fuck goes back to school after winning $3 million as a 16-year-old? That's not a bad question, all things considered. This kid can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants. If he's smart, he'll invest. If he's smart, he'll pay off his college right now. Or his university, because going to school in the States is ludicrously expensive. Yeah, this kid's not going to need a student loan. He'd pretty much just buy his way into whatever school he wants to go to. Who cares what his grades are at this point? Presumably, he'll do good things for his friends and family, I can only imagine. But just the fact that he'd say whether he'll gamble at all. But then again, we live in an age of excess, and that's just how things are. Man, I can't imagine being handed that much amount of money. Hell, even when I see people win like $10,000, $20,000 or more on game shows, I can't fathom. Maybe buy a car, I guess? Put a down payment on a house? I don't know, stuff like that. So I always kind of wonder what people do. Because you see a lot of esports teams go to these tournaments and they win all this money. But this was a single-player tournament. So the money that was being put up was huge. And Fortnite is still pulling in viewers on Twitch and other platforms. And people are still watching. I mean, its viewership has dropped compared to last year. But considering just how big this is going to blow up in the media, I imagine you'll see a spike in views for the next little bit. I know some streamers that I watch, such as Fuya, has gone back to playing Fortnite. I think she's playing it tonight, actually. So that's kind of cool. I mean, congratulations to this kid. Like I said, it takes a lot of talent. It really does to be able to compete at that high a level, to be that young, to have your reflexes that sharp. And who says playing video games doesn't pay off? This kid just got a $3 million payday. He makes more than some athletes and some politicians. So Good on you, kid. Congratulations. You've most certainly earned it. My next story, this may be a little bit shorter this week. Simply don't have Alex to kind of bounce off of. So this next story is kind of a sad one. It's kind of a downer moment. Over the weekend, legendary voice actress Russi Taylor passed away at the age of 75. You may recognize her voice as Minnie Mouse, where her husband, who passed away, I think, in 2009, was the voice of Mickey Mouse. And you may recognize her, though, in other roles, such as Martin Prince from The Simpsons. She was also Sherry and Terry in the German exchange student Uter. Executive producer Al Jean from The Simpsons took to social media, saying, "Deeply saddened to learn of the passing of Russi Taylor, a true delight to work with." Now, a lot of people are speculating about this, whether they'll retire the character of Martin Prince on the show, because when Marcia Wallace passed away in October 2013, the executive producers and Jean made the decision to retire the character of Miss Krabappel, one of the most prominent characters you saw in the show. And it's not the first time this has happened. They also retired Lunch Lady Doris for a couple years after the passing of her voice actress as well. Although she's since returned to the show, voiced by Tress MacNeille. So I can't see them retiring Martin simply because he is a character who's involved in a lot of plots in the show and is the rival to Lisa. Now, maybe if you said, "Oh, Martin's going off to a special school in a different district," that's an opportunity to get the character out of the show, give him or her the happy ending, and introduce something new to The Simpsons, which is in its 30th season, I want to say, right now. Which, in unrelated Simpsons news, this year's Trios of Horror will be spoofing Stranger Things, which I gotta say, I am tremendously excited for, and I think that will actually be episode 666 or something. I think I read that somewhere. But yeah, it's we're starting to lose a lot of voice actors. This year has been particularly devastating for the nerd community. Just losing a lot of people. In this past week, we lost Rutger Hauer, who was the guy from Blade Runner. He was one of the replicants. I know him most notably, though, from Hobo with a Shotgun. I know, not his most iconic film, but that movie, to me, if you haven't seen it, go seek it out. It is one of the coolest Canadian movies you'll ever see, one of the best soundtracks in a movie I've ever heard, and it ends on Run With Us from the Raccoons cartoon, if you remember that old 80s gem. And it's just, it's so suiting. Yeah, like I said, it's just, it's been a year, man. My next story here, this one I'm looking forward to. Hopefully this will come to fruition. But Kevin Smith, the guy who's behind Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, you know his work, is currently rewriting Clerks 3 in hopes to convince Jeff Anderson, who plays Randall, to return. So he had written a version of Clerks 3 that Jeff Anderson had passed on. Although Smith has said in his podcast, it was written in a different time in his life. It was much darker in tone. It was not what he wanted to put out. And Jeff Anderson passed on it. And without Dante and Randall, there is no Clerks. Now, Anderson did come back for Clerks 2 back in 2007 or 6, I want to, yeah, 2006, I think. Although there was a falling out between him and Anderson on the original Clerks, and it took a long time for him to come back to the role, although he did have a cameo in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So he's said recently he wants to mend bridges, as he did recently make up with Ben Affleck as he got him back for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which comes out in October. And I think next weekend, if you happen to live in the Red Bank area of New Jersey, he's doing a reading of Clerks 3, the old script that's not going to get made. and I think they sold out the two-night show at like $100 a ticket. They've already raised like $20,000 for this little theater that that he was a part of or helped get Clerks get made. It's nice to see Smith go back to the Askewniverse because Yoga Hosers, the less said, the better. Tusk was a thing. And I liked Red States. And even Cop Out was okay. But Askewniverse is where he plays best. And I'm hoping it'll be good. He was saying in his Hall H panel, I think it was either that or Fat Man Beyond, that he... Originally, he was going to do the Gus Van Sant approach, where he was going to remake Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back almost shot for shot and see if he could get away with it. Because when the guy remade Psycho, he's like, kids aren't going to watch it because it's not in color, it's in black and white and whatnot. And when he remade it in the late 90s, it's a shot for shot remake of Psycho. Luckily, he didn't do that. So Jane, Silent Bob reboot goes on the road this October, and then gets a wide release in theaters. I'm hoping it's good. They do touch on Justice, which was the Shannon Elizabeth character. She had a love child with Jay, and they're going to go to Hollywood, where Bluntman is now now played by Val Kilmer. Chronic is now played by Supergirl from Supergirl. I don't know. I hope it's funny. I'm definitely going to go see it opening nights. Because the View Askewniverse has always been a very big part of my life. I remember back when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend at the time, a girl I was dating online, Tasha, recommended it to me. And I'm like, okay, I'll go check this out. So back when VHSs were a thing, I checked out this little indie flick called Clerks, and it was a thing, and I kind of identified with Dante and Randall's plight, and just, I always loved the tagline from that movie, just because they serve you doesn't mean they like you, and anyone who's worked in retail can definitely tell you that. So yeah, hopefully Smith can convince Anderson to come back. Hopefully whatever bridges that may have been burned can be repaired. And Smith said in a Fat Man Beyond episode just recently, he's not interested in making gritty or dark or things. He wants to make things that make people happy. He wants things that make him happy. And if that means a different Clerks 3, if that means a relationship can be repaired, no one likes to see friends fight. And I'm hoping this is just a case of, hey man, I'm sorry, I fucked up, let's become friends again, let's start again. Because I am a very big believer that very few relationships are beyond repair. If you're genuinely sorry, hopefully you can fix it. Although, that being said, sometimes, I can't remember who said it, but I think it was one of those memes on Facebook. But it went something along the lines of, even if someone's sorry and they apologize, you don't have to let them back in your life. And I hope that's not the situation with Smith and Anderson. I hope it's something that can be fixed. So anyway, I'm kind of rambling here. So coming up next on the show will be my review of the Star Trek Adventures book from Modiphius. We are looking at Star Trek Adventures, the Alpha Quadrant, coming to us from Modiphius. And I gotta say, this book is probably one of the more lore-deep books, especially if you're a big fan of DS9, which I unfortunately aren't, simply because I haven't had a chance to watch that series yet. I know, I'm like 25 years behind. But there's a lot of information here on Cardassia, the Ferengi, Bajor, stuff like that. So if you want to flavor your campaigns with that, you can definitely do that. It's kind of cool, though. Just the fact it brings the game year, I think, up to 2372. And it gives you a lot of different options for how you want to run things in the Alpha Quadrant. Because the Dominion is still a threat. So you got to worry about the Founders, the Vorta, the Jem'Hadar, and whatnot. But it also kind of gives you more insight into how the Federation is running, what's going on, and more things to kind of give your campaign more flavor. So if you want to talk about Federation worlds like Trill or Tellar Prime, it does give you some information about that. Also, more information on bad guys like the aforementioned Cardassians, but it also gives you stuff about the Tholian Assembly, the Breen Confederacy. There's one race in here, I guess they're a DS9 race, because they do mention that their location close to DS9, they want to be kept apart. I can't even begin to pronounce this name. But it does give you some really cool insights into basically how to run different types of games. Like if you want to run a Federation border campaign, you could run a Maquis campaign if you wanted to, and that might be kind of cool too. They also give you some new major NPCs. Thomas Riker, if you remember that episode of TNG where they accidentally created the transporter clone. They give you Ro Laren, who I do think was an underappreciated character in TNG, and I also thought she was kind of cute. You get new starships from the Ferengi, the Cardassian, the Breen. You also get new racial traits for the Gorn, the Nausicaans, and whatnot. And you get just a bunch of other little NPCs. Like there's one of them in here I think is kind of neat. The Ferengi debt collector, and how they could feature into your campaign, where they basically, the courts in the Ferengi Alliance get settled in and out of a day. And if you don't show up to court, you are owed financial compensation, and these guys will go around hunting more or less bounties to collect for people. And it's kind of cool. I was actually rather surprised to read how much fluff went into this, and I do think it's worth adding to your Star Trek Adventures campaign. I'm always pleased when they add new species into the game. One of them I didn't recognize until I had to go read this on Memory Alpha was the Katarans. And I didn't realize they date all the way back to the original series, I think. But I know them from Voyager because of Naomi Wildman. Okay, weird, I know. But it was still kind of cool to read that. There's also the cat people from the animated series. There's this, the Aurorans, which I think are like bird people. The Edosians, which are those weird three-armed, three-legged people. It's cool. I was actually rather surprised. There's just so many different species in here that I never knew about. I guess I'm not that good of a Trekkie, but it's cool to have this resource as a game master for Star Trek. So if you want to really open up the Alpha Quadrant in your Star Trek Adventures campaign, then you cannot go wrong with Star Trek Adventures from Modiphius.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop dick.
And welcome back to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I'm, of course, Mike the Birdman Dodd, flying solo this week, and it is now time to take a look at the weird, the strange, the just plain fucked up things that happened on the planet this week, and I like to take a look at things that maybe go a little bit off the beaten path, and this one, for all you Twilight fans out there, I'm sure you're excited. It's been 7 years since that thing infested theaters. Well, how would you like to stay at an Airbnb that is actually the Bella Swan House? That's right. You can go to St. Helens, Oregon, and you can get a stay at the Twilight Swan House, starting at just $333 per night with a two-night minimum. Fans can lay in the bed that Bella, or sorry, can lay in Bella's bed and imagine what it would be like to have their vampire boyfriend watch while they sleep. That's creepy as fuck, man. I mean, the house is nothing special. Although, this article that I'm reading says that only the first film was shot inside. So, although it has been redecorated to look like it was in the movie, there's even cardboard cutouts of Kristen Stewart and Taylor Lautner, you know, the werewolf guy. What the hell ever happened to him anyway? He just kind of dropped off the face. What was the last movie I remember him in? I think it was like The Ridiculous Six with like Adam Sandler, and that was like what, 2014 or so? So, yeah, that's pretty strange. However, though, it's not too far if you want to go up the road to actually Forks. So if you want that whole Pacific Northwest feeling, that whole vibe, you can check this out. I mean, I guess it's kind of neat. Sorry, I got some. It's something's bothering me. there we go. I think, maybe, I don't know. Why is I programmed to feel pain? Anyway, so yeah, you can check that out. If you got $330 burning a hole in your pocket, because why the hell wouldn't you? This one, always a joy when I get to talk about these stories, as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of the space program. I'm also a big fan of near-Earth objects. For those of you that don't know, a near-Earth object is just that. Anything that comes close to Earth, pretty much between the Earth and the Moon. Things that we tend to see in the sky, be it asteroids or what else. Well, this past week, a quote-unquote city killer, an asteroid that was approximately 100 meters wide, flew past the Earth at about 24 kilometers per second. That's about 70 times the speed of sound. The asteroid that was dubbed Asteroid 2019 OK missed the Earth by approximately 73,000 kilometers, placing it much closer to our planet than the Moon. The thing that sucks about this is they didn't see this coming. Astronomers have been watching for three other asteroids to pass by the Earth on Wednesday when they noticed Asteroid 2019 OK appeared seemingly out of nowhere. Researchers only spotted it a short time ago, but they didn't confirm the discovery until a few hours before it had passed. It's a city killer, Swinburne University astronomer Professor Alan Duffy told the Sydney Morning Herald, because it's so small, it's incredibly hard to see until right at the last minute. He added that it's unusual for an asteroid of this size to pass inside the Moon's orbit. Definitely too close for comfort, which kind of makes me think. Now, imagine with me, if you will, what are we realistically going to do if we do see an asteroid coming? Obviously, we do have the nuclear weapons to rely on it, but I kind of wonder if it's going to, if something terrible is going to have to happen for somebody to take it seriously. I mean, obviously, we had the thing in Russia a couple of years ago, the thing in Siberia in, like, the early 1900s. But just imagine if you will, if this thing took out a city, if this thing hit, I don't know, Milwaukee, or, I don't know, Sydney, Australia, just hit a major city, wiped it clean off the map. Or hell, let's say this thing lands out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. How big of a tsunami is that going to cause? Just from all that potential energy being unleashed all at once. Is that what it's going to have to take for people to start taking these spaceborne threats seriously? I'm kind of starting to kind of wonder about that. And I know there's not enough money being spent in terms of looking at space, but we need to start developing strategies for, okay, we can see them coming. Now, what the fuck do we do about them? And like I said, that's probably just me being a little bit alarmist. But at the same time, when does that conversation happen? And there's a few people few governments. I would say the U.S. government and probably a few other large First Nations governments would probably get things going if it hit somewhere near them. If it, say, it hit, oh, I don't know, Calgary or something, or hit in the middle of the Northwest Territories and just caused a big problem, I could see the government saying, okay, now something's got to be done. So that's incredibly scary. This is a story that Alex sent me, this next one, and this will be my final story this week. And I love its quote, "Cat wrecks video game stream by barfing so hard it breaks a computer." So the streamer by the name of Jaded Blue was playing a game online at some point last week and was streaming it on Twitch. So his cat, Kelser, decided to walk up to him, and the cat started throwing up. So you just hear the cat, and you hear him go, "Oh, dude, and then his stream cuts off abruptly. So what had happened is the cat puked on his computer, fried the motherboard, graphics card, and power supply. He posted a picture of it online. It's pretty graphic, all things considered. But yeah, the cat puked right into the computer, right into the top of the vents that sit on top of the computer to dissipate heat. So, just an incredible stroke of bad friggin' luck for this poor streamer. So, hopefully his kitty's okay and is feeling better. This could be just a case of cat ate too much food or whatever. But still, that's gotta be a shitty way to lose your computer. What happened to your computer? Cat. They are our furry friends, but sometimes they are indeed our enemies. So yeah, that's all I pretty much got for weird news this week. There were some other stories, but I really want Alex here to bounce them off them. So maybe I'll cover them next week. So anyway, guys, we're going to close out the show with one of Alex's reviews coming to us from PDP Gaming. We'll be back right after this, and I will close out the show and let you know what's coming up on the site this week.
Friends at PDP sent over their brand new controllers for the Nintendo Switch. They're the Face-Off Deluxe Plus Audio Wired Controllers. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it basically covers everything that they do. These are the first controllers available for the Nintendo Switch officially licensed that have an audio jack in the bottom, just like most other modern consoles have, to have actual USB headphone audio and mic support. So you can have full chat support for games that support chat, which is leagues above what they originally had, where you remember you had to tether your phone, use a special app, and it was kind of crazy and stupid that Nintendo was doing. Well, this solves that for the games that support it. It has the same high-end build quality that I've come to get used to seeing from PDP, with removable faceplates. And there are four colors. There's a red camo, blue camo, black camo, and purple camo. All of them have a neat sort of pattern to the front. That's the camo aspect of it. There's also turbo buttons on the bottom, or programmable buttons in the back, that are sort of on a rocker. There's also a button to bring up the audio controls for the chat functionality of it. I found pretty good D-pad, pretty good buttons. Not any weird travel or anything on there. It seems to be exactly what it's supposed to be when you're using it. Birdman and I used it a fair bit when we were playing the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 game together. And he's going to have his thoughts at a later time as he spends a little more time with it, because he is the shooter fanatic. So he wanted to make sure that, I believe he said something about how he wanted to test the analog sticks to see if they're tall enough or if they have the right amount of give, if they're too sensitive, not sensitive enough. He's probably the better expert at that. But as far as playing retro games and playing RPGs, things like that, it seems to be perfectly fine. Not quite the build quality that you get out of the the official Pro controller, but that's also in Canada at least $100 controller. This in Canada is about a $45 to $50 controller. And for what it is, high build quality. You could drop this thing and it's not going to crack or give you any problems. There's also a 9-foot cable, so there's plenty of length. You shouldn't need to use an extension cord with it. And I really dig the designs. I was playing around with the red one first. The blue is good. The black is good, even the plain one. But the purple one, Birdman wanted to check out because, you know, he's all about the hot pink and purple. So he's going to give it a better go later and sort of give it more in-depth on the kind of games that he plays. And just, he is a better expert when it comes to analog controllers than I am. As far as features with it, you know, here's the basic rundown from the box. It's 3.5 millimeter audio jack, supports in-game audio, USB chat, volume on the fly using the D-pad on the controller, so you can turn the volume up and down directly. So you don't have to have like a volume adjust on your actual headphones. You can customize the gameplay with dual programmable paddle style buttons in the back. That's what I talked about earlier. You can swap out and snap on different faceplates, which is cool. And I hope they have more faceplates that come later. Yeah, so it's got a 10-foot or a 9.8-foot fixed USB cable, which is good. It's not going to pull out on you. And it's not going to, you know, be too stiff or anything. It's actually a pretty good cable. And it is officially licensed by Nintendo, which is great, which means, you know, it's got a little bit higher quality than what you, you know, sometimes get from a third-party company. I'm pretty happy with it. So I'm going to give it my recommendation. Pick a color that you like, and if you want, you can always get other faceplates for it and swap out the colors if you want to, you know, really decorate and do some fun things. You could probably even take the cover off and actually like paint the faceplate yourself and pop it on and have your own custom one. But, you know, until Birdman gives his final okay on it on for fighting games and for shooters, you know, I can't give it like a 10 out of 10 that I wanted to give it. So it's, for me right now, it's an 8 out of 10, and we'll see if Birdman says that it's, you know, over and above. I'm going to make sure that we put links in the show notes, because these are probably the best third-party wired controller you're going to get right now because of the audio support of that. That's a huge deal. So now, if you don't have an audio receiver and you're playing, you know, in TV mode, you can actually, you know, use headphones. Because if you put it, if you put the Switch into the TV mode, it turns off the headphone jack on the top. And then you can't really listen to audio unless you have a headphone jack on your TV or a receiver if you want to, you know, not wake up your neighbors or anything. So this solves that problem. And it's something that I'm really surprised that Nintendo didn't do, but I'm glad PDP did.
And that's the kind of show it has been here this week on Twig, as I've been flying solo without my ever faithful compatriot, Alex, the producer, Ricci. And I do thank him when he does take over the show whenever I have to be absent, be it for sickness, family, and or otherwise I'm indisposed. Like I said, this week he is in Scarborough. I think he'll be back for next week's show. As for what's coming up on the site this week, I'm not 100% sure. I know Nerds of the Third Power should be taking a break this week. I know we're doing some show planning on there, so we'll be hopefully talking about all sorts of nerdy topics on there with me, Gonzo the Cat, and Skyblaze. And I really like how Alex is taking some of our older interviews, doing the Twig Classics feed. If you haven't been following Twig for the last 12 years, you can catch up on some of the interviews we've done in the past. Hopefully going to be doing more later on this year, as a lot of companies are jumping on doing Discord. And then as we move into the fall this year, actually kind of reminds you, we were supposed to take part of the summer off. That never really happened. We just kind of kept going with production, so I guess that's what we're going to do now, is just, you know what, whatever, it's cool. I'm really glad to be doing the show. I'm glad to be back in the swing of things. As you guys know, I had some personal troubles happening in June, and I had to take some time off, so I'm really glad to kind of get things going here, interact with you, the listeners. I always do appreciate it. And you can interact with the show, as always, feedback at thisweekingeek.net, our Twitter at thisweekingeek, or my personal one, which is the best way to get a hold of me personally, at BirdmanDodd. Hopefully I'll be doing some more stuff, because Comic-Con let out a lot of big news. I'm hoping to be talking nerd stuff with hopefully people over at Geekcast Radio. I haven't heard from Steve, but I know he's settled in to Colorado. I should be doing something with Blanchard at some point, because I know he still does Mayhem Mics with Alex and some other people. They're working on some stuff, though I don't know what precisely. I know they're still doing the pull bag over there with Ryan and other people. So maybe I should read some more comics, because all I'm really reading right now is like Power Rangers. I picked up the new Buffy trade from Boom Comics. I just have to sit down and read that. I also got RoboCop, Citizen's Arrest, and some other stuff. I just haven't sat down to read it yet. As for myself, coming up review-wise, I have Jack Ryan, I think it was the Amazon Prime series that came out a little while ago. I still have to review that, and I have a ton of Dungeons & Dragons stuff. I just got to sit down and read it. I also have a PDP controller that Alex got. I'll be giving my thoughts on it as well, though I'll be looking at it from a more of a fighting game standpoint. I'm going to put it through its paces in Smash Brothers, Mario Kart for the Switch, and maybe My Friend Pedro, just to see how it performs. And like I said, having Alex's review on the show should give you some indication of what I might think, but we'll have to wait and see. So anyway, guys, like I said, big thanks to everyone who's tuned in for the last dozen or so years. I appreciate you. I love all of you in more ways than you could possibly imagine. Anyway, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodson. Live free or die hard. And as always, be cool, be kind, be careful. I'll catch you guys next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Well, that's our show.
All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info on the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer, that's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.